Good afternoon. It is a pleasure to be here to share God's word with you. And my sincere thanks first for the church to support mission in Europe and support the missionary Helen and Kevin. And just to report you briefly, they are now in York with their two children, Charles and Charlene. And they have been wonderful in the past 2 years. When they are in York, first, the church is very small. It's a typical Chinese church in York, in England. In fact, in most parts in Europe. Very small, transient populations. Lots of students coming through. The families are small and few. But when Helen and Kevin started to be located in York, and the church started to stabilize, and now more family is joining the church. So it's wonderful to see they're building a small but very solid leadership base. And I thank you for your support. Because your support, they can journey into England to serve in the Chinese community. So like Brian said, I work with the Chinese Overseas Christian Mission. The Chinese Overseas Christian Mission is a mission organization that serves the Chinese diaspora in Europe. And this includes UK. Now, today, in fact, yesterday, as I travel over here, my mind was on something else until the event in New Zealand happens. Today, if you go to newspapers, the first top news is what happens in New Zealand. And it's really a sad occasion. You see things happen like that. Savages hurting people. As the brothers praying, we need to pray for God's love to now encompass those that's hurting. Now, where I'm serving in Europe, another top news is in the newspapers. In fact, all over UK. You know, guess what it is? Guess what that is? Brexit. You knew about it. I'm going to fly back. And on the 20th, I wonder which country I'm going to fly into. Is it still part of Europe or not? Okay, so we wonder, you know, things like that happen. And it seems like the countries change. People are hurting. I you know, last year was a very, very pivotal year in China. As you know, we do a lot of the Chinese ministries. So my antenna is definitely looking into the east, into China. So what's happening in that country? And last year, China has a very big change where President Xi Jinping has worked with the National Congress to extend the possibility of his serving as the president for over the normal 2 terms. So now he could be a lifetime president. Now that change move the politics in China to a different direction. As we know, this year, last year, Chinese churches are under tremendous pressure. So we are all wondering, what is God doing in all the histories of mankind in the different countries? Now, so I'm going to pick this passage to you. And my title of the talk is Ride the Waves. Suen read the story of Philip and the eunuchs. And this is a very interesting story because it's a story in the earlier parts of the church development in Acts. This is Acts chapter 8. Now, Acts has a long story. And I think by looking at Acts, how the church develops, we know what our role is now. The title is Ride Waves. You will know later on why I say this. Now in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, as Jesus was about to descend to ascend to heaven, he tell the disciples as they gather, and they're wondering, no, this Jesus, he died, and he was resurrected, and now he's leaving again. What are we going to do? The disciples were wondering as they gathered around Jesus. Jesus said, now you have to go to Jerusalem. Wait there. When you are there, you will wait until the Holy Spirit comes. And when the Spirit comes upon you, you will have power to start sharing the gospel. The gospel will start where it starts, in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem first, and then you will go out to the land of Judea. And not just there, you will go beyond to the land of Samaria. And after that, you will continue to grow to the end of earth. Now imagine the disciples thinking, right? The disciples have been following Jesus for a while. Now these are Jews. These are bona fide, you know, pure Jews following Jesus. They're thinking about the Jewish country, you know, being revived under Jesus. Now Jesus said the gospel is going to go more further. Now, of course, they heed the advice of the master, and they waited in Jerusalem. They were praying, in fact. They were worried, you know, what's going to happen, right? Now, chapter 2 happened. The Spirit descended in Pentecost. The Spirit descended. As the Spirit descended, the disciples all of a sudden gained extraordinary power, the power of speaking in tongues. Now, so they were Jews in Jerusalem. And then at that time, a lot of people from around the world came back to Jerusalem. The Jews from Egypt, the Jews from Arabia, the Jews from, you know, from Greece, the Jews from Persia, they came. They speak different languages, just like us. You know, we're now in Malaysia. We speak different languages. But at that time, the Jews come together. And all of a sudden, when the power came, the disciples can speak all the dialects. And so they were sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for all of them. So when that happened, many people came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. How did that happen? The disciples did not know, but Jesus predicted and directed it's going to happen. I will say, that is the first wave of God's mission to win the world. The church started. So the disciples were really happy. They see the fruits. So they were preaching the word with zeal. So they're challenging the authorities. In Jerusalem, the church grew tremendously. So in chapter 2, chapter 3, you see the church starting to grow, right? Every day they were gathering together. Every day God added the believers to their midst. So the church probably grew exponentially every day. So they were really happy. You know, think about this. When the church are growing, we are coming together, we love each other. Isn't that a great picture? You know, remember the disciples following Jesus when they were on the mountain, right? When they're on the mountain, they were so happy. Oh, Jesus was there. Let's stay on the mountain. Let's just stay here. Let's not go anywhere else. But when that happened, when the church started to grow in Jerusalem, as the story of Acts unfolds, you see the picture, persecution came. Do we like persecution? Do we like persecution? Some people, no, you're so spiritual, you like persecution. No, I don't think anybody likes persecution, right? Nobody likes it. So the disciples wasn't looking at it, but the persecution came. So much so, the first martyr, Stephen, was killed. So when that happened, the disciples and the Christians gathered in Jerusalem church, they had to do what? They had to do one thing. They had to do what? They had to spread away. Now, as they spread away, Philip, this is when Philip comes along. Philip is now an evangelist. He went up north to the land of Samaria. Ooh, God forbid, Samaria, that land. It's not a place Jews want to go to. But Philip went up there and started a big revival. Many, many people became Christians. So much so, the disciples in Jerusalem were wondering, ooh, they heard this, those Samaritans became Christians. What happened to them? Is that really true? So in chapter 8, it started this story of John and and Peter, they went up there to see, to verify, is this really true? And when they went up there, they say, praise the Lord, this is really true. And so they prayed, the Spirit descended on them. There's a big revival again up in the land of Samaria. And that's another wave of mission. Another wave of mission. Now, so it comes to this story. Now, who started the big revival up in Samaria? Who started that? Philip, isn't it? Philip started the revival. Now, imagine that. Philip, the evangelist, did all the good work. The Spirit is working among the Samaritans, and they become Christians. The church up there is growing exponentially, and the miracles are happening. If I am the pastor, I say, this is where I want to be, right? This is where I want to be, because this is where action is happening. This is where God is moving. And all of a sudden, something else happened. This is really interesting. So an angel appeared to Philip and tell him something really, really unexpected. So he said, rise, go south, go to the land to Africa. If I am Philip, I will be really shocked. I say, Jesus, are you for sure? Are you for sure? Where's that place? That's the place towards the desert. So the angel told Philip to rise and go. Go to a place where nobody goes. Go to a place where it leads to a place that's going to Africa. It's not a place the Jews wants to go to. But remember what Jesus told the disciples. When the Spirit comes upon you, you will share the good news in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of earth. Now this is, I say, another mission wave that God is engineering. Philip, to his credit, you know, the Bible didn't say much about exactly what happened, but Philip responded immediately. Essentially, Philip said, okay, I'm going. So he traveled to the land, to the desert in the south. This is south of Jerusalem. If you know the landscape or the geography of Judea and that place, you know it's opposite from the north. So it's all the way down south. And so he traveled there. As he traveled there on the land, probably very few people travel, but there are people from Africa at that time were God-fearers. They were the Gentiles who fear the God of Jews, and they worship the God of Jews. So one of them is an Ethiopian eunuch. And this guy is really a big official, right? He was riding the chariot, and he went to Jerusalem, probably in one of those big events. He went up there to worship the Lord. But he know the Bible, the Old Testament. He know some of the texts, but he doesn't know what it means. He doesn't know what it means. He has an open heart. The heart is ready to understand, but he doesn't know. So as he was riding back to Africa along the way on the chariot, and Philip came. And so the Spirit asked Philip, go near that chariot, near that chariot. And this is wonderful. It's really, you have to give credit to the eunuch, right? He was reading a passage. This passage is this classic passage from Isaiah 53. It's pointing to Jesus and pointing to what Jesus has done for all of mankind on the cross. Pointing to the restoration, the salvation of mankind through Jesus Christ. So as he was reading it, Philip asked, imagine him running near the chariot and asking, right? Now, the eunuch asked him, can you explain to me? And invited him up to the chariot. And Philip explained to him right away how this passage means. As they traveled more and more, and the eunuch says, I understand this now. And what is stopping us? There's a piece of water. Let's get baptized. This is probably one of the fastest baptisms I've seen in history. So he was baptized. When he gets up, now this is another miracle. I don't know how to explain to you. But the Bible says when he get up, he couldn't find Philip. And he said, Philip went up north, okay? And how did he went up north? I don't know. I'm not here to explain to you how he can. Maybe it's like beaming up Scotty, right? He went up there and just landed in Caesarea sometime, some distance away. But that's not the main point here. What I want to use this story is I want to illustrate this important message of riding the waves. When you look at this story, you will see it is very, very obvious. Even all throughout the first part of the book of Acts. And as you go more forward, you'll understand that more. You say, it's obvious God, Holy Spirit, is leading the way, isn't it? The Spirit is leading the way in the church in Jerusalem forming. Essentially, God provided the means for the disciples to start the church. The disciples could not do it. It's God who does it. And we are his instruments. We're his vessel. He loved us to use us. And we are returning his debt. And when the persecution comes, it's obvious God is engineering that so that the gospel is moving out of Jerusalem to the land of Samaria and Judea. And when more revivals comes, God still yet raises different ways so people will keep going into mission. So it's obvious God's engineering. And two, Philip is willing to go. You and I are God's people. We are God's people. We all once were lost, but God saved us through Jesus Christ. So we are God's people. Are we ready? That is the question. But Philip is willing to go. He did not say, Lord, leave me here in Samaria. I have big ministries to do here. But he was willing. He went right away. And you look at the eunuch, right? The eunuch was ready. His heart was soft. He was yearning to understand the word of God. And who prepared that? I think God has prepared the soft soil for the gospel to be planted. And when the Messiah is revealed, people's heart turn into Christ. And that's essentially the story. So through this story, I see three lessons that we can learn. The first lesson is God is the initiator of missions. Not us. And sometimes we plan a lot of things. We need to. We need to strategize a lot of things. We still need to. We need to learn from past experience and design a ministry path. We all need to do that. But we need to know who is the one who engineers mission, who raises waves. And this is where I think we need to be careful. God is the initiator of mission, and he engineers mission opportunities for us. I live in UK. Brian said, 11 years ago, I was called to go to UK. Today, in the United Kingdom, there's upwards about 150,000 Chinese students in UK. Now, this is a tremendous amount of students. Now, there may be more in some other places, but UK is really, really different. Why? The United Kingdom, as we go through Brexit, everybody knows why Brexit was happening. Because the people in Britain do not want so many immigrants to move into UK permanently. They want people to come, do business, but they wanted them to go back home, right? So for the students, it's the same. The government And the national psyche is, you come study, we open doors for you. We have universities ready for you to come and study. We have good programs, welcome you, come study. But after you study, go back. Go back. Now, that sounded cool sometimes, right? But you know what? It really is something strategically very significant. You know, these people, they come from China, different parts of China. And there's a lot of people, they are cream of the crop. They are cream of the crop. They grew up in significant families in China. They have the means to go out. So they come out to UK to study. Now imagine, these people, when they learn their skills, they go back to China. I think China is needing those skilled people, academics, professionals, to help the country grow, as the country is growing very fast. So the country is growing fast, they need people. A lot of people come out to study to get prepared. When they are in the UK, this is where it's really strategic. You know, I was a student once. I know a lot of people here once were students too. And some of you probably study abroad, right? Brian studied in Glasgow. You may study in London, in other places. Juhan in America, yeah? Shuen, America and England. Probably a lot of you study in other parts. But imagine when you are just go outside and study in a new place. Your heart is soft, I tell you. I know how my heart is when I started to journey outside of China and go to America. You know, I wanted to learn. I wanted to soak in the American dream. I want to learn what is out there that I can learn. At the same time, I'm a bit soft inside. I'm a bit fearful. I'm a bit worried, actually. Even though outside I'm really pumping myself up, like I'm cool, right? But really, I'm scared. I'm scared in the new place. What is going to happen in this new place, right? And this is wonderful opportunity. Imagine in that place, a loving Christian family invites you home. Imagine in those places, a loving church invites you to come home at church. Imagine, just like those people ahead of us. Many become Christians when they study abroad. I know a lot of them study abroad, they become Christians. They come back to Malaysia, they come back to Singapore, they come back. Now, this is happening in China. And this is why I think God is raising another mission wave of Chinese student ministry. And this is why COCM, the organization I work for, we are putting the student ministry as one of the biggest priorities, because we know when we win this group of people, they will win the country. They will win the country. I'll ask you this question. You know the name Deng Xiaoping? Have you heard of Deng Xiaoping? Yeah? China is leapfrogging over other Western countries' economic development. The engineer of that, we just call that engineer of that, right? I'm not sure. I think God has a hand in this too, but, you know, it's Deng Xiaoping. Guess when and where he was when he was 15 years old. Guess where he was? You don't know that. He was in Paris studying. But he learned Marxism. He learned communism there. I'm just thinking, right? If he become Christians there, China history will be rewritten. And this is the significance of this mission wave that God has engineered. So that's the first point. God engineers mission waves. The second point, as the waves come, we as God's people, need to be ready to ride the waves. We need to be ready and willing to follow God's call and share God's love so we can ride the mission waves. Now, come back to Philip for a minute. You know, Philip, in the very beginning, he was an evangelist. In the very beginning, if you trace back a little bit on the book of Acts, as the church in Jerusalem started to grow, and the apostles were just so busy, they said, "Well, no, we need to have somebody, a group of people here, just to serve people." The Hellenistic Jews were complaining because their widowers were neglected. So they're saying, no, we need to find some people who have a servant heart, who can serve the widows, who can help organize the church, who can help clean the place, who can help prepare food for them. So they chose seven deacons. Among the seven deacons, they were faithful deacons. They were spirit-filled. Among them, who one of them is named what? Philip. So Philip, God has prepared him. He is one that really, in the earlier days, were really helpful to people. To outsiders, because the Hellenist Jews are not local. They're from, you know, maybe Greece and other parts of that Middle Eastern world. They're from outside. They're not from local here in Malaysia. They're probably from Indonesia, from India. They come here. But God prepared Philip. He was a person filled with the Spirit, has a loving heart, go out of his ways to help the needy. Now, this is what God is preparing all of us. We need to be having a loving heart towards outsiders, towards people who are not like us, towards people who are maybe non-believers, maybe in other faith. I tell you, this morning, as I read the newspaper, that's happening in the thing that's happening in New Zealand, my heart just goes out to those Muslim communities. I think we Christians need to show that we're beyond hatred. There are bad people all over the world. There are bad people in any religion. And I think a lot of those Muslim people, they are hurting big time. And so we should pray for them earnestly so that God's mercy comes upon them. I know in my circles of Christian, evangelical Christians, sometimes we have other thoughts about Muslim faith. But my heart goes out to them this morning. I think God is preparing us. God is preparing us to maybe venture out of our comfort zones. Venture out of our common, usual, familiar environments to help people that's in need. So Philip was one of those people. He was willing. He was ready. So when God calls him to go south, if I were him, I would probably refuse. But he did not say anything. He said, okay, I'll go. And this is where I will urge all of us to be sensitive to God's calling, to understand where God is engineering mission waves. Now, last year, the Chinese government started new policies about Christianity. So the house churches in China are under pressure because the government wants the church to register. And in England, we're so used to new students coming in, they have never heard of Christianity. So we have been doing a lot of evangelizing. And that's very, very good because they become Christians when they go back to share the love of God to their families. But this year, we had a little different scenario. In one of the camps in Easter usually coming up in less than a month, we usually have a discipleship training camp where we round up all the Christians the students who become Christians in England. We give them some discipleship training and then prepare them to go back to China. Now, last year, for the first time, we see a lot of second generation. We call them 新二代. Their parents are believers, and they're from China. They grew up in China, but because their parents are believers, doesn't mean they have a solid faith. Sometimes they need to find it themselves. They're in the period where they rebelled. They go out, and they need to find the faith again. So we see a lot of this because China's pressure, a lot of these people come out. And we sing for the first time. We play a role of discipleship in a new environment for them so that they can bring the good news back to China in a more solid form. So we don't know what God is engineering, and we pray to the Lord, says, if this is the way, if this is the place we need to now take up the training, we will do that because we need to be ready to ride the mission waves. That's the second point. The first point, God is the engineer of mission. He rides mission. He raises mission waves. The second point is we, as God's people, need to be ready. In little things, in your church services, in your day-to-day walk with the Lord, in your small groups, in your care groups, in your prayer life, to walk with the Lord sincerely. So prepare yourself, like Philip, to go out of his way to serve. So when the wave comes, he can ride the waves, and we can all ride the waves. I think when you're ready to ride the waves, things will change. This is a picture of one of our Easter camps. And you can see all faces of young people. And they're all in England, studied there. And they become Christians in some of the fellowships, in different groups. They come together and get trained. Now imagine these people. When they go back to China, bringing the gospel back home, they can change their family. Philip shared the gospel to an Ethiopian eunuch. We know the eunuch is a significant government official. We know he is high up in the ranking. When Philip shared the gospel to him, he became the first Christian probably in all of Africa, baptized, went back to his home country. Now, church historians told us when the Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia, his homeland, he started to share the good news to his kinsmen. So to this day, if you go to Ethiopia and that part of the world, you will see a remnant of Christians in a very challenging country. Actually, not a very small numbers, quite sizable numbers. Now, they trace their lineage, they trace their blessing to this Ethiopian eunuch because he brought the good news to the continent of Africa and started sharing. So one person changed the country. Today, if you go to Egypt, there is a Coptic Christian tradition. About 10 to 15% of Christians, of the people in all of Egypt, are actually Christians. You wouldn't think that in a Muslim country like that, that there's a lot of Christians, but really, there is a lot of them. And they are big, huge churches. And they trace their lineage to Ethiopian eunuch. And so, as you see, when you're willing to share the good news, when you're willing to ride the waves, nations change. I just tell you a story. You know, we were working with the Chinese students. Last year, I went back to China. And in my sabbatical, my intention was to go meet some of those who become Christians when they were in UK studying. So one folk I knew, he was studying in Dundee, and he became a Christian there. And he spent some time getting equipped in COCM, the organization I'm serving, as a volunteer. He spent about 3 months or so long. And as he was being equipped, and he started to really wanting to serve the Lord. But he had to go back to China. So we prayed for him. He went back to China. This is many, many years ago. And when he went back to China, he was one person. He came to study as one person. So this time when I visited, he lives in Tianjin, right, Tianjin. As I visited him, he has a big family. And he introduced me to his parents. And he introduced me to his wife. And also introduced me to his beautiful little daughter and his wife's parents. So as we gathered together, we couldn't stop praising the Lord because he came outside of China as one person without God, seeking the dream of his life. And he found Jesus Christ when he was studying in the UK. When he went back to China, he brought this good news to his family. Now, so when I met him, his wife is a good Christian girl, and his parents became Christians. Now, they are Communist Party members, I tell you. And they know, they saw what's changing him and changing the lives of his son, their son. They become convinced this must be true. So they become Christians. And the wife became Christian because of them. And the wife's parents, the mother, become a Christian too. The only one is the wife's father, who is at the door now. His father told me, I'm really curious. All of them are Christians. I'm just wondering why. Why? So the curiosity, I'm sure, will eventually open doors for him. And this is what's happening in China. This is what's happening with the student ministry. When I joined COCM, I couldn't imagine a little boy who grew up in Xi'an, China. That's where I grew up. I was born in Xi'an, China. And when I was growing up, I never thought about coming outside of China because China was then a closed country. And as I come out of China, I had this American dream I want to achieve. I never thought I would become a missionary. But as I landed in Heathrow Airport about 15 years ago on a short-term mission trip, God opened my eyes, say, go south. This is where the mission waves is. So I went, I responded. And as I go and work in COCM over the last 10 years, I'm praying. I say, God, help me, help us to raise a generation of young people. A generation of young people, wherever they come from, to go against the currents, to dare to go against the currents and be different in this world, in this sad and sinful world. You know, China is growing tremendously, economically, materialistically, ideologically now. But I'm praying for a generation of young people to be different in this country, to be different so that they can be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And I'm praying also, not just people in China, but all the young people of the world, to heed God's call to be different, to be sensitive to God's mission waves, to be sensitive to see God's mission waves. Where is that coming? Where is that? And to be willing to respond. But you need to be prepared to know the word of the God. I always thought Philip was lucky because he was given a very easy task. Isaiah chapter 53. I mean, that's easy. Well, that points to Jesus Christ. But if you give a tough passage, I probably wouldn't be able to explain. That would be terrible, right? That would be terrible. So be prepared. Know the word of God so you can share the word of God correctly. And also, be prepared to serve in your local context. So you are ready. When God calls you, you can go. When God calls you to go south, you go. Go north, you go. Then you can share the love of God. And when you're willing to do this, I believe God will use you as God used Philip to change a continent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to pray, to share. And Father, today I pray for the congregation that you will speak to us. Father, especially today, I feel the tug in my heart that this incident in New Zealand will be a wake-up call for Christians, for all of us, to rise up and pour out your love to our Muslim neighbors. Father, help us. Help us to respond to you. So that you can, through us, be a channel of your blessing to change the world. Thank you, Father. Pray this in Jesus' name.